So let's talk about Nehemiah chapter 5. He deals with some social injustice. We know that the men and their wives raised a great outcry against their Jewish brothers. There were taxation issues. There were poverty issues. There were hunger issues. And Nehemiah, even as a newly minted leader in the community, again, remember, this isn't a guy who grew up here, who had stature and leadership in the community for a long time, but he stands up. Hi, this is Holly, and welcome to Study with Friends. This is part 4 in a series we're doing on the book of Nehemiah. It's teaching us so much about leadership and how we can engage the culture around us. If you miss any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, please go to our website, studywithfriends.org, and search Nehemiah in the search box. You can listen there online or search us on iTunes. That's studywithfriends.org. While you're there on the website, choose your favorite social media channel in the upper right-hand corner and follow us for daily inspiration from God's Word. We're active on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
I'm learning that.
Yeah, when you had asked for our response on that, how can we apply, and you were talking, I think I went to the small things, and I was just saying, well, we need to just really be on guard and praying for protection and remain. I put the word proactive because to me it's the smaller, and I put threats in quotes, his deception, the enemy's deception.
Mm-hmm.
And the big one for me is distractions.
Yes.
I'm so easily distracted. I'm a little bit ADD, I think. And my mind just goes in a million different directions and so easily goes away from something of God.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's about that focus. Like when I picture them with these swords and posting guards, I kind of went back to the armor of God, and I reread the Ephesians passage on it because I was thinking that's where the fight is. The fight for me is more, I have a pretty comfortable life. I'm going to say that. So it comes more in subtle ways to steer me, you know, towards things of the world, you know, buying stuff or comfort. And instead of doing what he wants me to do, that word comfort came up. I think Viv said it, and that struck me. That
was not comfortable.
Yeah. So you should be kind of expecting that and be vigilant.
Yeah, proactive. That's good.
Proactive is the word coming to me.
Yeah. Which we're leading into the next. That's okay. That's okay. It's natural. I'm glad you guys are going the same places I'm going. In chapter 4, verses 21 to 23 is where Nancy was going a little bit, which let's go with her. Viv, will you read it?
I have the King James. So Nehemiah chapter 4 from verse 21. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let everyone with his servant lodge with Jerusalem within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servant, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing.
Mine also said each had his weapon. So the point is what? What's he saying here?
That basically you stay on your guard. You don't let your defenses down. You have your weapons handy.
Mm-hmm.
And you stay alert at all times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For me, it really went back to the armor of God again. Stand firm.
Mm-hmm. What does that look like in your life right now? What does that look like in current culture?
I thought of the whole concept of just protection. Like when I think of the people that I work with, I want to protect them. And so what does that look like for us? Well, if we had a client call and talk terribly about one of our employees, you think, oh, the client's always right, but I know my people and I know their hearts. So we would tend to say, maybe we're not a good fit for you.
Mm.
We would stand up for our people and we would protect each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're talking about like guarding the wall and guarding each other and taking turns, I really think about great teams and keeping the best interest of the people at the forefront, and how do we defend each other and help each other to be the best people we can be.
How does that look in a family? Do we do a good job when a teacher calls and says your child is a problem of being a teammate of our children? How about our spouse? What does teamwork look like in the home?
Oh, you just got me.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. I mean, maybe I did a little, but I didn't mean to because I love you.
Well, I have a son that I get those emails about a lot, and I think you're torn in that, for me, that relationship, because there's your responsibility as a mom, mm-hmm. as a parent, as to discipline, to
balance.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. to get them to talk to you about why, what's going on, not being too much of a friend, not being too much of a parent. That mm-hmm. balance, that balance of, I need you to talk to me, be open with me, trust me, be vulnerable with me. But at the same time, there are going to be consequences.
I have to teach you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's tough.
Yes.
Parenting is tough.
It is hard. All relationships are hard. And so, you know, I think you're right. I'm not saying we should always rush to our children's side. Sometimes they're wrong.
Oh, yeah. But they still need to sense your support.
Yeah. If you're leading them.
I'm in your corner.
Yes. Yeah. Your leadership matters to them. I don't care who they are. They want to know they're good enough.
Yeah.
Period.
They don't have to earn it.
Everybody wants to know I'm good enough. In the home, and we've been entrusted to lead those people that live inside our four walls. And, you know, God can lift to your heart and spirit if you're single. There are people who you are leading, who you are loving. And how does it look for you to be on their team? Because honestly, this is what servant leadership is about. It's about not leading, you know, not like the world says, lead, follower, get out of the way. Mm. Nehemiah says, I will walk next to you and we will do it together. And that's the way. That's God's way. Not follow me because I'm right.
Yeah.
Not even follow me because I'm following God. But let's do this together. I think that was a great example in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's case by case. There are going to be times when the client's right and your person made a mistake. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean you throw them under the bus. You say, okay, let's walk through it together. I do want to just lift out that if you are called to lead anyone, it is your job to be vigilant over them. I think the finest form of vigilance is prayer. Really should be the primary place where we're vigilant for those who we're leading, whom we are leading.
I think that's what I wrote. A lot of what I wrote was that our battles are more spiritual. That's what I'm feeling maybe at this mm-hmm. stage in my life, that mm-hmm. that my fight is more in my head than it is maybe in practical, you know, relationships, number one. But I that's where I feel like the enemy gets me the most. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's my weakness.
Say more about that.
Just the emotional, he can deceive you into thinking things are going a certain way, and then mm-hmm. you know, God will bring you back and you'll realize things aren't going that way. And
that has two sides, right?
Yeah.
He can deceive you into thinking everything's going well.
Oh yeah.
Or he can deceive you into thinking everything's going badly.
That things are so mm-hmm. bad. And that's where I tend to get, you know, that's just my natural emotional bent, is to get depressed, to get down, mm-hmm. to think I'm stuck in a pit. I had a visual this morning. He was showing me, you know, it's so easy to feel like you've just dropped into this pit and how difficult it is to climb your way out. When maybe if you just stopped and looked around more carefully where you're stepping, you wouldn't fall in the pit in the first place. I don't know. He gave me that visual. I'm not sure
where
he's going
good.
With that. But to me, it's just this, maybe it's just like I said, this season, but I feel like the battles are really, really in my head.
And you said it earlier when we were talking about a different question. You said being proactive. Mm-hmm. To me, that's a similar thing to do with vigilance. Mm-hmm. So I think you're right on.
One of the things that helps with that is affirmations. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me, that's he that's in the world. And mm-hmm. I am of a royal priesthood. You know, when the focus is on who I am in Christ, as the attacks come, it's get buffeted by those scriptures that comes out of you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you'll find that it becomes so much entrenched that as the enemy tries to put the thoughts in your mind, bam, talk to the hand.
I like that visual.
Bam, talk to the hand.
I like that.
Bam, great is he that's in me, that's he that's in this world. And you just, it just starts playing.
Right.
And you know what helps me too is singing.
Mm. Oh, music is
perfect. Oh.
I don't have a good singing voice.
Girl, I can't sing to save my life.
When I'm in the car.
I can't carry a tune in my pocket.
I don't believe that.
I don't either.
I can't carry a tune in my pocket, but I tell you this, a song is always playing inside of me. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, you guys don't know me from A Can of Paint, but I've had some trials this past couple, not even 2 years yet. To keep sane, it's music and the word of God.
Oh, yeah.
Because mm-hmm. otherwise, I'll be someplace stretched out, strapped mm-hmm. in, mm-hmm. getting shots mm-hmm. to keep my mind together. So that works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me testify. I'm not going to share her story because it's her story to share. But mm-hmm. I've told Viv that she's a role model to me because the things that she's experienced would take me down, no question. Mm-hmm. And she sits here and she has good things to say. And she looks super cute today. She's not, let me say this, it's not trite when she says it. She's lived it.
Yeah.
Sometime maybe you'll share it when the Lord leads. But but it's not trite, you know, like I think that's important. Mm-hmm. You know, things, bad things happen. Honestly, one of the things that makes me want to close my fist and punch you in the face is when you say, God doesn't give us anything we can't handle.
Yeah.
That's so trite. First of all, it's the opposite of the truth.
Right.
And second of all, it's just a trite thing to say.
Yes.
And you're using my Jesus in a way that is not right. Mm-hmm. And so I stand against any of that coming across as trite, because I know that she's lived what she's, what she's advising. Mm-hmm. So let's look at chapter five. Again, a whole Bible study could be wrapped around chapter five and social injustice. And we're not going to do that, even though I would love to. We are going to take a quick verse by verse in chapter five, because I think there are lessons I wouldn't do justice to Nehemiah if I didn't at least touch upon. So let's talk about Nehemiah chapter five. He deals with some social injustice. We know that the men and their wives raised a great outcry against their Jewish brothers. There were taxation issues. There were poverty issues. There were hunger issues. And Nehemiah, even as a newly minted leader in the community, again, remember, this isn't a guy who grew up here, who had stature and leadership in the community for a long time, but he stands up. Now, we're going to go back verse by verse, chapter 5, 6 through 11. But give me the general overview of what you wrote in your homework of the characterization of Nehemiah's response to social injustice.
The first one came to mind was anger. He showed the righteous anger about what is happening. So just to give you one, I'll go with anger.
Yeah, that's good. And well, but I like that you said righteous anger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because there is a difference.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Is this something that makes God angry?
Oh.
Or is it just me and my flesh, road rage?
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't really care that that person cut me off.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's me being anger. Mm-hmm. Okay, so thank you for saying righteous anger. What else did you guys lift out of that?
Confronted and called a meeting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I also put in all of that, added to it, that he pondered the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he didn't act out the anger.
Mm-hmm. So let's go verse by verse. Let's just go around the table. Verse 6. Let's see how he handles verse by verse. What he says in verse 6 is what? Nancy, what does he say?
When I heard their outcry and these charges, I was very angry.
Right. So let's, if we had to write down next verse 6, I'm going to use Viv's characterization, which is righteous anger, because I think we don't want to dismiss anger. And then verse 7, what does that say, Viv?
Then I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, ye act usury, every one of his brother. And I set a great assembly against them.
We already know Nehemiah is not pondering on his own, right? Because we see his habit again and again and again. So I know he invited God into that process. But he also used his brain. Here's a guy who's watched a lot of leaders. He was in a place where he served a leader, right or wrong, good or bad. We know he has watched in his life examples of leadership. We know that because of his position, sheer position in life. And so he thought to himself, what's the right thing to do here? What's the wrong thing to do here? And, you know, there can be something to be said of learning from bad examples. He brought a meeting, like you said, Amy. Why do you think it's important for him to have called a large meeting together?
As far as possible, we have bought back our fellow Jews who were sold to the Gentiles. Now you are selling your own people only for them to be sold back to us. They kept quiet because they could not find anything to say.
Okay. So there's something here. He confronts them in the public square, so to speak. He's pulling. Gosh, this one's tricky, guys. So there is a time to confront privately, and then there's a time to confront publicly.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus in the New Testament indicates to us, and in the, all over Old Testament, New Testament, God indicates to us, when you have a problem with your brother, you go with a third party and you confront your brother. That's a private circumstance. What's the difference here? This is a corporate injustice.
Mm-hmm.
This is a social injustice, and it's happening in the public square, and it needs to be dealt with in the public square.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk for 45 more minutes about some of the things that are happening in our world right this second that are social injustices, that we can conquer these things in our personal lives. We can build a bridge in race relations in our personal lives. But we also, some of us are called to build bridges in the public square and do more and be louder. Mm. Nehemiah was already in a position, he recognized that, where he was respected by his brethren. See, this is a problem within his community. This isn't like our community. This isn't Sanballat and Tobiah, us against them. This is us against us. And so he had already established authority and leadership and respect. And he recognized that, not unlike Esther, for such a time as this. He said, okay, I have a position. I'm respected. I can stand up and maybe make a difference here. And I think we should take that seriously. If the time comes that we have been put in such a position where someone might listen to what we have to say, we should stand up and say it, mm-hmm. if it needs to be said. And number nine, verse nine says what?
Verse nine. So I continued, what you are doing is not right. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of our God to avoid the reproach of our Gentile enemies?
Okay. What's the difference in the nuance there? I just teased at it a little bit. I was saying, he's talking to his own brethren,
right? Mm-hmm.
Where we see us against us, mm-hmm. which is ridiculous. What are you doing?
Right.
Oh my gosh, so many examples. Fighting inside your church. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. This is us. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be together. Now, if you have fighting in your church, what else do you have to say? What else do you have to point out? You're doing this and the world is seeing it.
Yeah, the example you're leaving.
That's what I want to lift out of number nine. Mm-hmm. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Okay. And then 10.
I likewise, and my brethren, and my servants might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off the usury.
Okay, so that's King James. Thank you, King James. I'm going to read it in NIV. I and my brothers and my men are also lending the people money and grain, but let the exacting of usury stop. That's tax. Let the overtaxing stop. He just tucks it in there, very humble as Nehemiah, our hero, always is. What is he doing as part of his treatment of social injustice?
He's basically defending his brethren that have been misused and abused. Mm-hmm. They've used abusive process. So he's saying, listen, we got to stop this, guys. Cut it out. Cut it out. We got to stop this.
Mm-hmm. But what is he doing practically?
So he's not in their face saying, you did this, you did that. He is saying, you know, let us stop mm-hmm. this. So he's putting it on himself. Mm-hmm. Saying, I am let us.
What else is he doing?
Oh, he's giving.
Yes.
He's lending.
Yes.
He's being
so
in there
quietly,
doing the work.
Quietly, humbly, part of the way he's solving this problem is in his own, from his own pocket.
Mm-hmm.
We could stand up all day long and say, the poor, the poor, the poor. Mm-hmm. And we have a platform and we have a voice and we say it all the time. But if you're not reaching into your own pocket mm-hmm. and helping the poor, you're a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm sorry mm-hmm. if that convicts you. I love you. Sorry. Okay. Because you are. Mm-hmm. It's just so tucked gently in there. He yeah. didn't even make a big deal about it. He wasn't like, look what I'm doing. You should do this.
Right.
He's saying, I and my brothers and my men are lending the people money and grain as an example to you. He tucks it in there. It's not the entire outcry. He doesn't lead with it. He buries the lead, so to speak. He's like, and by the way, I'm practicing what I preach. So can we all just get on board with taking care of our people? Worth noting. In the last verse, 11.
Give back to them immediately their fields, vineyards, olive groves, and houses, and also the interest you are charging them. 1% of the money, grain, new wine, and olive oil.
Okay. There are things that Nehemiah identifies that need to be restored to the poor that he can't give out of his pocket. So here again, he's returned back to the community and said, this is not for you to take. This is not for you to have. Do the right thing. Corporate and personal application of how he's coping with social injustice. I'm telling you, there's so much in there.
Mm-hmm.
We're just sticking our toe in it. And I'm sorry about that. I hope it makes you hungry to go back and learn more about it. But we got to move on. There is one more question in the homework about later in chapter 5, as Nehemiah rises to power. We see that this humble servant heart continues, where it says that he, when he was governor, he didn't take the food that was apportioned to him.
Mm-hmm.
How would you summarize this kind of leadership? What is Nehemiah showing us in his example?
He's showing that servant leadership. Mm-hmm. He's in there with them. He is not having them do anything that he wouldn't do himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he's showing that he remembers from whence he came.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good. I've not forgotten my history.
That's true.
I've not forgotten where I started. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I'm all the way up here and I forget, you know, all the little people mm-hmm. along the way.
That's a great point.
He's showing, I know who I am. Mm-hmm. I know my history. I
hadn't thought of that. Thank you. We're going to move on to six. So we got a circling back to the opposition and attack. Can someone read chapter 6, 1 through 7, and then describe in your own words what's happening there?
All right, 1 through 7, chapter 6. When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors and the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message, quote, "Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono." But they were scheming to harm me, so I sent messengers to them with this reply, "I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you?" 4 times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Then the fifth time Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written, "It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it is true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king, and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king. So come, let us meet together." What was going on there? Well, the enemies are trying to intimidate him.
Mm-hmm.
And Nehemiah, he didn't back down. He didn't, to me, what I saw is he didn't become emotional.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't like get into this cat fight with them, this petty back and forth. He just said, he just denied the allegations.
Mm-hmm.
He knew he wasn't doing that, and he didn't let that cut him down.
One of the things that if I had to distill it
mm-hmm.
in his response mm-hmm. is, "I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down."
Right. Yeah.
I don't care what you're doing right now, whether you think it's a great project or not.
Mm-hmm.
If someone is trying to suck you into drama, a really good response is stay on your path.
Yeah.
My girls say, stay in your own lane.
Yeah.
Stay on the path that you know God has put you on. Don't let anyone yank you out of that lane. Whatever. Look, Nehemiah was building a big wall and doing a big job. So are you. I don't care what you're doing or who you're doing it for. God has you on a path. Anything that would distract you
mm-hmm.
or derail you, this is drama that's trying to distract
enemy.
Him. It's, and I love that he's like, I'm not going to participate in that. He's like, I'm carrying on a great project. I'm not coming.
It brought me back to that magnet that we have, the voice of God, the voice of the
mm-hmm.
enemy, and the voice of God would not be trying to intimidate you or trying to cut you down or trying to make you obsess over stupid details. That would be the enemy's voice.
Mm-hmm.
God's voice is always going to be more edifying.
Mm-hmm. The enemy creates chaos.
Yes, yes.
This magnet keeps coming up again and again and again. This is a little magnet we had made, and it says, God's voice stills, Satan's voice rushes. God's voice calms, Satan voice, you know, so it's just this really great visual
mm.
of like, okay, whose voice is in my head right now? Mm. It's like a good little anchor. If you have, so I'm going to just say, if you want to email us at info@studywithfriends.org, I will send it to you for free. It's a really good magnet. Hi, it's Holly again. I'm so glad you listened today. We really believe these Bible studies can be a good resource no matter where you are in your spiritual journey. If you're new to the Bible, curious but not ready to go to church, this is a way you can explore. Or if you're a seasoned veteran of the faith, each time you study, you gain something more. Either way, we hope you found something in today's study that blessed you. We are listener supported, so we do rely on your prayers and financial support. During this series, we'd like to send you a book called The Passionate Mom: Dare to Parent in Today's World. It's written by Susan Merrill, and she takes the example of Nehemiah's leadership and helps us see how we can parent with these same guiding principles. We want to send that to you for a donation of any amount. Again, that's studywithfriends.org/donate. And just note Nehemiah on your check or in the note box provided online. Honestly, hearing from you in any way makes our day. We always pass the email around and celebrate that you cared enough to reach out. So if you're blessed by us on this station, please let us know with an email to info@studywithfriends.org. Make sure to include the station you're listening to. We believe strongly in the local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday worship and a small group Bible study, please find one. make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. See you next time on Study with Friends.